Welcome to the Hustle Up podcast, the podcast that covers startups, side hustles, and the self-employed. In this episode, I'm speaking to Sophie Lark, the CEO of Larks & Crafts Designs. They're a design company that specializes in funny and personalized designs, including cards, gift wrap, prints, and more. Started in January 2020, just before the pandemic hit the UK, Sophie's brand has already been featured in the Mail on Sunday's You magazine. Hi, Sophie.
Hello.
We've been trying to pin this one down for a little while, haven't we? So it's great to finally have you on. And you're my first female guest as well.
Oh, so that, great. That's good. What an honour. So glad we've finally been able to get it in the diary.
No problem at all. And 2020 has been a bit of a tough year in a lot of ways, but you've become an auntie as well, haven't you? So how's that been along with being a business owner?
Oh, my word. Honestly, it's like an actual like breath of fresh air. It's been such a hard year for so many, and honestly, having a little baby in the family right before Christmas is it's just like the best feeling. I literally can't wait to have a Christmas with a little baby. It's gonna change Christmas for me, I think. It's really exciting.
Really good. And are your family quite close then? Are you all gonna get together within all the restrictions that are now on us?
Yeah, so we've got quite a big family, so I don't know how that's going to play out with the restrictions, but hopefully, yeah, we can all get together and experience a little baby at Christmas. It's just so uncertain, isn't it? I don't really know. I've not been following as avidly as I should have, so I don't know what the actual restrictions are going to be around Christmas.
It's changing all the time, isn't it, as well? And taking it back to kind of your childhood, what was life like growing up? Where did you live? Who did you live with?
So I grew up in Essex until I was about 13. I lived with my mum and my dad and my sister, and honestly, I was probably like an actual mute. Like, I said no words to anyone. Honestly, like, I think I wouldn't even go to the corner shop on my own. So I literally, thank God, I ended up moving up north because it really brought me out of my shell, which, to be fair, in its own way, had to bring me out of my shell, because going to a northern school with an Essex accent was interesting. The north-south divide definitely does still exist. But yeah, it was really good. I moved up there when my mum and dad divorced. So half of my family have always been in Essex and half of my family have always been up north. So actually growing up, it's been great because, you know, going to uni in Sheffield and then moving to London, it wasn't a shock to me. And, you know, I found it quite easy, which is good.
Yeah, you've experienced a bit of the south already and a bit of the north.
Exactly.
So your accent, it's kind of a mix of the two, would you say? Or
honestly, yes. Like, some on when I go up north, people are like, oh my god, you sound so southern, and then when I'm down south, everyone's like, can you hear that northern twang? But I do think when I've had a few drinks, honestly, my northern accent comes out a lot. I think whenever I'm down south, I become more southern, and whenever I'm up north, I'm definitely more northern. I don't know if it's like, what's the word, not the atmosphere,
it's your environment, isn't it? You're a bit of a chameleon.
Environment, yeah, it's the environment. I must do it like subconsciously. I don't even realize.
I was going to ask, after the younger years, you mentioned you went to Sheffield Uni, we were both on the same journalism course. What would you say made you want to study journalism at uni, and why did you choose Sheffield?
So if I'm honest, most of my friends would say Bridget Jones inspired me to become a journalist, which if I denied that, I'd probably be lying. I don't know. I honestly think half of me wanted to be Bridget Jones, but the other half of me, I absolutely loved reading. And I mean, I know journalism is also like TV and radio, but I think I wanted to go more into the magazine route. And that's what kind of pursued me. And also, I'm just really nosy.
Nothing wrong with that.
I was like, oh, I could be an investigative journalist. But no, like Sheffield for me, I think I put forward like two advertising courses, one in like Westminster and Salford, and then journalism in like Chester, which Chester was so close to where my mum lived. And I was like, oh, I don't want to be that close. No offence, mum. And I think literally Sheffield was my only choice. I visited every other uni bar Sheffield, and it didn't click with me. And I thought, you know what, like, it's, you know, it'll be fine. Sheffield's a lovely place, isn't it? And then I went to the open day and we met, you know, lovely Jonathan Foster. And he was like, reason why you shouldn't join this course. And I was like,
oh God, yeah.
I was like, oh, maybe I've made the wrong decision. But no, I had put Sheffield by that point. So I was going, and, you know, it was great to have Foster on the course and leading the course as well. So
Cool. And we also had shorthand as part of that course. How did you get on with shorthand? Because I remember I was one of the people that just decided not to do it. And hence, I'm not a journalist today. But yeah, how did you get on with that?
Well, I do think that they put one of the lectures or lessons at 9 a.m. on a Monday.
Yeah.
That put it in bad stead already. For me, I was like, no, 9 a.m. way too early. I cannot make that. And then when I actually turned up to it, I thought, oh my God, that is an actual different language. I'm never going to be able to do that. So yeah, I was kind of with you. I just thought, you know what? No, this isn't going to work for me. And hence, I'm not a journalist either.
Yeah, we still passed the course. So I think it all worked out in the end.
Exactly. It did. But I think journalism as a whole, like, looking back, I think it probably wasn't the right course for me, but it challenged me in so many different ways. We did media law, which I found out that actually I really enjoyed, that I would have never had the opportunity to actually delve into. Politics, we did radio, didn't we? We did news reading, magazine, newspaper. So actually as a whole course, even though there are elements that I don't think worked for me, there was such an array of kind of different subjects to get your head into and, you know, writing styles and stuff like that, that I think actually it was probably the best course because it gave such an amazing set of expertise and skills that probably set me up for my career, to be honest.
And then like Sheffield Highlights, you were one of the people that climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, weren't you? So what would you say that was one of your highlights, or were there any other great things you'd say stood out from your time?
Oh yeah, Kilimanjaro, wow, what an experience. Looking back, it was such a good thing. It's for charity, so I can say I've done it. At the time, you know, Megan Colley, who was on our course, I could have actually killed her because she signed me up drunk. I woke up the next day and she was like, okay, it's time to pay £800 for your flights. And I was like, what flights for what? And, you know, then I realised. And then I actually thought, you know what, it's for a great cause. It was probably the most mentally challenging experience I've had, more than physical. If anyone actually is considering climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, I would suggest going to the gym, unlike me, who nearly died on the first day. Honestly, it was a nightmare.
And then out of uni, what was your first role you went into?
My first role was an advertising administrator for a recruitment company. So I handled all of the advertising and all of the jobs within the recruitment company. We did all the online job banners and advertising, essentially.
Okay. And how did you find that? Did you, like, you didn't have any advertising experience before that? Was that all kind of learning on the job?
Yeah, it was. And we had a really, really good team around us as well. And I was still living up north when I applied for that job. So I remember I had to go down for an interview and they were like, yeah, you've got the job. And honestly, that was like the best experience for me because that allowed me to actually be in London where I wanted to be. So it was such a great stepping stone. Like, it's great to have been a part of Prospectus as a company.
And what was it like making the switch from being up north to move into the big city?
Oh, it was great. I absolutely loved it. It probably helped that most of my friends from journalism and then my best friend moved to London. So it was the place to be. I'd already lived away from home for 3 years. And obviously going back home, I had a job like just to get me by for a year. And then it was just the step. It was the step for me. And I don't live in London now. I live in Kent. But yeah, anyone that hasn't experienced London, the London life, as they say, has got to do it. It's absolutely amazing. It was definitely the right step for me.
And I did a bit of research. So you moved from there to become like a digital producer. And I know you're involved in turning Piccadilly Circus yellow back in 2016. Were there any other career highlights?
Yes, that was absolutely amazing. That was definitely my highlight. Although I wasn't actually there to see it, which really upset me. I was up north. Another highlight would be I worked at a little agency, or actually I say a little agency, an agency called Drum. And there we worked on a partnership with Capital FM for Confused.com. And for me, that was absolutely amazing. We got to go to Global Radio near Leicester Square's headquarters. Nice. Honestly, it was absolutely fabulous, and I would love to work at Global Radio, but their offices were great. We got to go to the Jingle Bell Ball and saw Justin Bieber. I know that sounds like such a bad highlight, but the perks were really good with that job, and it was such a great partnership. Yeah. In the end, so for me, yeah, that is definitely a highlight.
And was there like a light bulb moment? Was there a moment where you thought, okay, I want to try something a bit different to advertising or marketing? And what made you think of going down the design and personalized products route?
So in college, I did graphic design. And from that point, it was actually a kind of free for all, whether I did journalism or I did graphic design. So from there, I always had an interest in design and was really creative. I am queen of dad jokes and love a good pun. So I was like, oh, I'm quite creative, which is why I kind of think I wanted to go into advertising, because I thought, oh, you know, like I just loved how clever advertising was.
Was there a moment where you thought, okay, I'm done with the professional side and I'm wanting to do something a bit different, maybe work for yourself?
Yeah, so actually, from college, I was always interested in design, and all the skills that we learned in journalism, designing magazines and newspapers had actually never left me. And I found that throughout my time in my jobs as a digital producer and all the other little jobs, I had a role in actually using the Adobe programs all the way through those roles. So I just came naturally to me, I think. And in the end, like all my friends and my family were like, I just think, you know, you went down the wrong route. You really, you know, in college, you should have probably done a design degree because you just love it so much and it's something that comes natural to you. So I literally had an opportunity and I took it, and I thought, do you know what? When I was sat in, it's really funny, my colleague Teresa, when I worked for Saatchi & Saatchi, I was like, Teresa, I really, do you know what? If I didn't work here or I didn't work for an agency, I think I'd just start my own thing, you know? And she was like, oh, like, what would you call it? And I was like, Larks and Crafts. And honestly, that was, I mean, I don't even know the date, but that was a good 5 years ago. And she literally sat there, she was a designer. She sat there and she created the logo for me. And that is the logo that is still to this day, like my logo. I was like, I just knew. I think there was something that kept bringing me back to do Larks and Crafts. So yeah, it's funny how the world works, actually.
Shout out to Teresa as well for that, then.
I know. Honestly. Yeah, she follows me and messages me now and again. And yeah, I'm so grateful. So grateful.
So I know you're full time now on Larks and Crafts. How did you go about going from the idea to starting the business and then kind of running with it?
The idea came to me because I absolutely love buying cards, and I love the creativity of cards, the puns, the humour, everything about it. And one day I just thought, you know what? I could make my own cards. You know, like I love a good pun. And that's why we have our own pun range, because I just did that for, you know, a joke to like my friends and family. And it started that way. And then I thought, oh, maybe I could just do it as a side venture. So I put them on Etsy and started getting quite a lot of interest. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. And I found that my passion actually, you know, all I could really think about was, okay, what's the next card? What's the next, you know, occasion in the year that I can think of? And as soon as I started thinking more and more and more about this, I thought, you know what? I'm only going to, you know, I'm coming up to 30. I'm not getting any younger. Maybe I literally just have to, you know, give it a bash. And if it doesn't work, I go back and I get a job in what I know. And at least I can say I've tried. I think there was a thought in the back of my head, it just wouldn't go away. And I was like, I've got to do this, just for my own sanity.
Okay. And you do the designs. I think you'd said before that you do them freehand on a laptop trackpad. Do you work with anyone on like the printing side of it, or do it all yourself?
So, yeah, most designers would be like, what, you use a trackpad? My best friend Anna is a designer, and honestly, half of the stuff I had no clue how to do. So I was kind of learning on the job. She was like, oh, so do you trace? Like, how do you draw? And I was like, oh no, I just use the pencil and I just use the trackpad. She was like, you what? I was like, yeah, is that not right? And she was like, oh, it's going to take, no wonder it takes you so long. And I was like, that's the only way I know how to do it. So yeah, if you see any of my dogs, they are drawn with the pencil on Illustrator with the trackpad. Hopefully I learn some new skills soon, because I don't think I have enough time in the day.
And then on the printing itself, does that come from you, or do you use someone else to do that?
I actually found a local printers where I'm based in Sevenoaks, and we have a really, really good relationship with them. There's not many printers online that I could find that would print individual sheets personalized. A lot of it was same design, you know, 50 times. So it's actually very lucky that I stumbled upon this printers, Colquick, owned by Mark. Like, it's a godsend really, because I don't think I would have had to buy my own printer, which, you know, when you look at the wrapping paper printers, they're very industrial and they're very expensive and they're very big. And I have a very small flat. So the setup, I think, has worked really well for me. And it's been a bit of luck, to be honest.
They're really good quality prints. I ordered a Christmas wrap of my Picardy Spaniel Leo, which arrived today, which was perfect timing for this chat.
Perfect.
So going back to the brand and the company, the new website you've done looks really good. Did you do a lot of the work on that yourself, or did you have to get help in for that as well?
Yeah, so I actually used Shopify as a platform, which is absolutely amazing. You basically have a template and you can upload your product. A lot of small businesses use that. So I was familiar with Shopify anyway. It was really, really simple. It was literally a case of uploading all of the products, which I found that because I had so many products on Etsy, and I didn't look into it. Apparently there's a way you can literally just integrate them over, which I did not do. I uploaded about 80 products, so it took me a very, very, very long time. But yeah, I'm a digital producer, and I think getting a platform like that, if you're a small business and paying, you know, a little monthly sum, is such an easier way to go about it than actually getting someone to, you know, build one from scratch. You don't have enough time in the day to worry about that aspect of things.
Definitely, even from like doing blogs or starting up websites, yeah, building a website from scratch takes a long time, and even with some of the templates it takes ages.
Yeah, and it's so it can be so expensive. So, you know, like Shopify, Wix, Weebly, anything like that is just it is perfect.
And have you had any other challenges starting out the business? Did you have any reservations before starting out and working for yourself?
Yeah, I feel like I have reservations every day. I keep saying, like, my poor boyfriend Alex, I'm like, what if there's a chance that this doesn't work? And he's like, no, it will work. Like, you cannot question yourself. So I think it's just I'm just wired that way. I have that, like, little bit of doubt, you know, like, trying to prepare for the worst, which actually, you know, it has to work because I've quit my job and I've invested a lot of money in this, so there is no option for it to fail. But I think, yeah, a lot of challenges. Like, I barely knew how to design. I remember sending the printer an actual InDesign file so he could print it. And he was like, no, I need a print-ready PDF. And I was like, to my designer friends, how embarrassing. I should have researched that. You know, they laughed. But it's little things like that. Like, I didn't even know the standard sizing of cards. You know, I'm trying to think of other things. They were honestly a multitude of things that I did not know how to do, that you literally just have to learn on the job, and you've just got to kind of jump in with both feet and hope for the best. And it's probably the best way. I've literally learned so much in such a small amount of time. It's like, I might write a book one day of things that have gone wrong, or things that literally I have done wrong, because I'll look back when I'm really successful one day and just laugh and be like, ha.
So my next point, I was just going to say, it's been really good to see some of the products you've done with like the personalized stuff. So I've seen some of the stuff with the uni girls and your booming line in the pet prints, obviously. So what's your favorite part of running Larks and Crafts?
I guess it's just, it's the requests I get. It's the whole, I think it's just, you know, one day drawing dogs, the next day I had a request that they wanted like a funny gift wrap for a Dirty 30 and I had to draw boobs and bums. Like, I think it's just on it. Yeah, I was like, of course. But it's just the kind of variety. No day is really the same. You know, you get requests like, can you do this personalization? Can you do this personalization? Can I have this dog? Can I have, you know, their face as an elf? Like, you know, little things like that.
Yeah.
And that's what I love. I find that a lot of my ideas actually come from customers themselves, which actually is just, you know, I probably wouldn't have thought of them, but it's just a way to progress and develop and actually understand exactly what the customer, you know, wants. And I just think it's a really good way to develop.
And has there been any requests that are like too big and you're like, or too difficult and you've said, I can't do that, or I'm not comfortable doing that?
I've never said no, even though I probably thought, how the hell am I going to do it? We had an amazing order, actually, that I was a bit hesitant because I thought, oh, it was for a wedding and it was 25 sheets of a bespoke size. So it was way bigger than A1. And every single sheet had a personalized message and personalized names on them. And I thought, well, logistically, like, I know I can do this. I've got a printer set up. That's absolutely fine. But I thought, oh my word, like I've never printed that size. Can the print, you know, I've said yes. Can the printer actually print that size? I didn't even check. And how many times am I going to, you know, print them out wrong because they all have, you know, like a spelling error on a name and an individual message. And then I thought, oh, will they come out good quality? Like, will they actually love them? Because they've seen a picture online, you know, is this what the customer's expecting? Like, I was a bit worried. I was a bit apprehensive, but I didn't say no. And I just went for it. And, you know, we message and they absolutely loved it. So I'm like, you know, it's kind of put me in a new stead now, a new confidence to actually put more focus on weddings, especially, you know, there's been so many weddings cancelled this year, which is just absolutely awful. But I think weddings next year, you know, is going to be a much bigger thing. So that's a market I really need to work into.
So lockdown and coronavirus must have posed some unique challenges as well. Were you able to operate throughout the year without any impact on the business?
Yes, actually, very, very fortunate. Because we literally work with a printer that is local, I was able to, I don't think they even had a brief closure. It was kind of like a click and collect, which was so fortunate for me that they were able to do that. And because I literally have my office in my flat and I work from a computer, all I really have to do is pick up the prints and send them to the post office. And thankfully the post office didn't shut either, or else I would have really had some issues. But yeah, no, I'm really, really lucky that, you know, the company I have is so flexible and the printer was open and local, because, you know, I don't have my own car. So I would have really struggled if that wasn't a short walk away.
No, I think that's good that you've then got that local network. Then you've got your printer, you've got your post office, and you've got all your infrastructure in walking distance. So yeah, that's really handy that you've got that set up. Yeah. And the first lockdown obviously covered Mother's Day and Easter. And I think I remember going into like an empty shopping centre to buy some hand gel from somewhere. And I walked past a shut card shop and it really made me think, like, what are people doing? Because surely they are still buying cards or sending flowers to their parents and things. So were you getting a lot of orders around that time, or was it later in the year when people started sending cards to friends just to check in on them?
We had a very, very big surge during Easter and after Easter. We did a bunch of cards that were focused on sending you a paper hug, sending you a paper kiss, you know, here's a glass of paper Prosecco, I owe you a real one, that sort of range, just to allow people to, you know, send cards to their loved ones and their friends. And that was really, really successful. We also did a whole range on thank you to the NHS workers, thank you to, you know, your post office staff. And we did them at a, you know, really discounted rate. And they were, you know, a lot of people were buying quite big batches, lots of nurses on wards giving them out to, you know, the staff, which was just, I don't know, it was a collection that I really felt passionate about.
Yeah.
And it was kind of our way of saying thank you to everyone as well. We gave them to our local post office. We sent them to any friends and family, you know, that worked for the NHS, for example. My stepdad works for BT and he was working throughout it. So we did like a whole range for, you know, thank you to your local engineers. And yeah, it went down really, really well. And it was just a kind of way to say a big thank you and to keep people connected.
Of course, yeah. And that leads on to my next question. So do you think people will always write cards to each other? And do you think there's something about kind of receiving a card for a celebration or a milestone that you can't really do via like email or e-card or WhatsApp?
Yeah, I personally absolutely love a card. Like, I am sentimental and keep all of my cards from every Christmas and birthday, which, you know, my boyfriend's an absolute, kind of says you're just an absolute hoarder. But for me, I just love a card. Not that I'm not grateful for a present, but I just, there's something about a card. It's an experience, and, you know, the message in it and receiving it, it's just really meaningful for me. And I do think people will always send cards. I think there's something, you know, in opening a card, reading a message, and actually having someone think of them in that way.
Yeah.
More so than like an email or a text.
With the social media as well, do you find sometimes someone will, like, they'll see it on your Facebook or they'll see it on, I don't know, LinkedIn or something. Oh, it's that person's birthday, I've got to remember to send them a message. But it's not as heartfelt as remembering in advance, writing a card, buying a card and sending it to someone. That's that more personal touch, isn't it?
Exactly. And I think well, evidence would show, you know, there's a lot of big card companies, Moonpig, Thoughtful, Funky Pigeon, you know, I think there really will be a need for it. And I don't think it's something that's going to die out soon, to be honest.
Yeah. And do you find you get more females ordering your cards, or is it quite a split between males, females, old, young?
I would predominantly say female, although we have had quite a lot of men request our personalised wrapping paper. I don't know if it's for girlfriends or wives, but I'm like, ooh, there's a market that we could get into. Making, you know, gifts more personalised for wives, girlfriends. But no, it's definitely predominantly more women. Probably 20 to 50 year olds, I would say, are our main target audience.
Okay. And you featured in the Mail on Sunday's You magazine. So well done on that. A bit of press coverage. Did you see any like spike in orders after that? Did they contact you? Did you know that was coming?
So we did see a spike in that, actually. Essentially what happened was I read Elizabeth Day, if you've heard of her. She does the How to Fail podcast, and she's also got a book called How to Fail. So I was a massive, massive fan of her, and follow her on Instagram. And she absolutely adores her cat Huxley. And it was actually, it wasn't even my idea. My auntie came to me and was like, you've got a whole pet range. Why don't you just, you know, message Elizabeth Day and see if she'd like personalised Huxley wrapping paper? And I thought, oh, what a good idea. Like, I'll just message. So anyway, ended up being that she said yes, like amazingly. And she absolutely loved it. And it kind of made my day, because it was the kind of first notable person that I'd really sent it to. And the response was overwhelming, which really, really pushed me in the pet direction for Christmas, I think. Yeah. And after that, I didn't realise I was actually up. Where was I? I think I was staying at my mum's at the time. And I got a phone from Rosie, actually, from journalism, messaged me, and she was like, Sophie, I don't know if you realise, but your Larks and Crafts is in a magazine. No, in fact, she didn't. She said, you're in a magazine.
What for?
I was like, I was thinking to myself, oh my God, they've got me from a really bad angle. Like, you know, my face is probably in the background of something. I just thought, oh, this is the worst thing that could ever happen. So I was like, what do you mean? I was like, pardon? She was like, look, Larks and Crafts. And I was like, oh, thank God, it's not my face. And I'm literally shell-shocked, had no idea it was coming. It was in her column. Like, absolute, I'm so grateful for that, because, you know, she, like, Elizabeth really didn't need to do that. Yeah, it literally made my whole year. I was like, oh my God. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, and we did have a surge of a lot of interest, which, you know, it's amazing. You just, yeah. I'm just so grateful that she didn't need to do that, and she just loved her product so much that she just wanted to. So that meant a lot.
Yeah, that recognition must have been great. So in terms of starting out the business, did you have any other help or guidance? You mentioned Teresa, who obviously helped you with the logo side of things. You've mentioned your friend who helped you with the design side of things. Was there anyone else you'd like to shout out at all?
Loads of people, honestly. Definitely my boyfriend Alex, because I'm surprised he hasn't killed me already with all the Larks and Crafts stuff everywhere, and me like not panicking but thinking, oh, is this right? Is this like, I'm an absolute worrier. Definitely, yeah, my friend Anna, my sister, because she's had to deal with a lot of ideas being thrown at her all the time, and she loves every single one, and you know, that must get boring after a while, I'm not going to lie. My auntie, because she was the one that said, you know, send it to Elizabeth Day, and she always sends me motivational podcasts, which really help. But I think it's also, I know quite a few people that have already started up their own little small business.
Yeah.
I think it's just really good having that community around you and all going through the same sort of journey with the same, you know, worries and constraints. So my friend Alexa, she owns a little company called Lulu and Lex, and they specialize in kind of personalized baby clothes and stockings and t-shirts, which are absolutely amazing. Okay. My other friend has just started a sprinkle company called Seriously Sprinkles. So for all you bakers, they are the place to go for the sprinkles. And she's doing absolutely fabulous. And also my sister's fiance Judd and his sister have just started a little company called the Baby Shower UK. And they are specializing in newborn personalized clothing. So it's really interesting to see that there's actually such, you know, there's a lot of people looking in, kind of going into that personalization. And I definitely think there's a need for it. It just adds that something extra, doesn't it?
Yeah. A lot of people have been there to support you on your journey so far, and I'm sure there'll be many others to come as well. So in terms of turnarounds, how, because you sent me a proof, didn't you? Does everyone get a proof of everything they order? Or do you have a really big focus on customer satisfaction?
Yeah, so with the bespoke wrapping paper, i.e. upload your photo, or if you want your dog illustrated, anything like that, we always send a proof, i.e. me. I always send a proof because I don't want you know, anyone to have any surprises or anyone to think, oh, that's not quite what I expected. So I just make sure with anything that's more individual that they are happy before I print it, because obviously we would, you know, if it's printed, we've lost that cost and would have to reprint it as well. So it kind of works for the customer, but also for us as well. So we don't have any wastage.
Okay. And then the other thing I thought about was the financial side of things. So I don't know if you've had to do any of that stuff yourself, or if you've got like an accountant or someone that does it, but how have you found the finance side of things? Like, not to go into too much detail, but has it been mind-boggling, or have you just let someone else look after it?
So, I mean, I worked for Barclays for about a year and dealt with spreadsheets then, but this is on a whole new level. There is so much documentation and things you have to, you know, receipts you have to keep. Like, honestly, it boggles my mind. My boyfriend knows a lot more about that than me, and so does help me from time to time. I'm learning slowly, but yeah, I'm probably more creative and design led than I am with the financials.
That's cool. Yeah, I guess it must be like a struggle. And you obviously see your money coming in, or you see your orders coming in, and then at some point there's the whole taxes. The government wants to take this portion of what I've earned. So that can't be the easiest thing.
Yeah. I think an accountant is the easiest way forward if you can do that.
What advice would you give to someone thinking of working for themselves or thinking of starting a side hustle?
I would say do it. I honestly would just say do it, because that is definitely the Nike slogan, isn't it? Do it, not just do it. honestly, I think I wasted a lot of time umming and ahhing, thinking, how do I start? Where do I start? Will people like it? Will people buy it? And actually, do you know what? If it works or it doesn't work, as long as you know you've tried and, you know, you've challenged yourself, like, there's no reason not to do it, to be honest. As long as you have that financial backing to just put your all into it, and you know you're in a comfortable situation, I would just say do it. Just go for it.
Perfect. So in your spare time, if you have any spare time, how do you usually wind down?
Spare time is a little light at the moment, but it is Christmas. I honestly either read a good book. If I Could Tell You One Thing by Richard Reid, very good book, very inspirational. If you've not heard of it, it's essentially a load of kind of notable people, like i.e. David Attenborough, Simon Cowell, all basically saying if they could tell you one thing from their life, this would be it. And it's kind of like a mini snippet. And I absolutely loved it. It's a book you can just pick up, put down whenever. It was really good. And probably a good Netflix binge like the rest of the UK. You've got to unwind some way.
I feel like during this year, a lot of people probably think they've completed Netflix, to be honest. But then you've got that thing where someone says, oh, what are you watching? And you just have a mind blank. You think, oh, what am I watching? Or what have I seen recently?
I know. It is so true. And there's been so many good programs on at the minute. And I think anyone, just work in general, new business, you just need that time to really switch off.
Yeah.
Because with COVID, it's so hard to at the minute.
Yeah, it's been a tough year. And I think finding things to keep you busy is always a great idea, and great that you started the business, even though you obviously didn't know COVID was coming down the track. But it's good that you started when you did, and you've been able to obviously operate throughout the year. So you mentioned a book just then. I usually ask kind of, are there any books, films or TV shows you'd recommend to anyone listening? So they can be business related or anything you just enjoy.
Definitely the Richard Reid one and How to Fail by Elizabeth Day. I think with anything in life that you're kind of hesitant about, I just think, you know, that book kind of shows you how every failure actually leads you onto the route of success in the end. and that you need these little failures in life to actually get you to where you should be in a successful place. And I just think it's really inspirational, really well written, and it's a really good read for anyone that's interested in that sort of kind of vibe.
Okay. TV shows?
Oh, this is the question where your mind goes blank. Oh, actually, I've got a really good one. The Undoing.
Enjoyed that.
Loved it. Like, 6 episodes. Amazing.
Yeah, it does grip you, for anyone that's not seen it. And yeah, it's like a kind of classic whodunit, but with twists and turns in kind of every episode, isn't there?
Yeah, it keeps you gripped. I almost wish I hadn't watched it every single week and just kind of had a Saturday and watched the whole entire thing, because I could not wait until the next episode was on every single week.
Yeah. And any films or like things you listen to? So you mentioned you listen to podcasts sometimes.
Yes. The only one I really listen to is How to Fail. All Elizabeth Day. But there's a really good episode, and I can't remember what it was called, but it was all about finding happiness.
I may have heard of the book, but I didn't know she did a podcast as well.
It's really good. But it's probably like the best episode I've ever listened to, in terms of there's just so much pressure on people at the minute, and it's like, how do you value happiness? It's really interesting. It's with Mo Gowat, all about how he found an algorithm for happiness, but it goes into detail and it explains it in such a way that's so thought-provoking that I literally had to listen to the podcast again. So I would really, really recommend listening to that particular episode, but they're all brilliant.
Do you read any like business books? Do you listen to any business specific podcasts, or do you just kind of dip in and out of different ones?
Not so much business podcasts, to be honest, although I probably should, because now I run a business, I could do with a few tips. But open to any suggestions.
I've got a couple that I got for my birthday. One's called Fuck Being Humble, which is by someone called Steph Sword Williams. Not so much business, but that's more about like personal branding and being good in yourself. Another one called The Money Is Coming. So disclaimer, I've not actually read any of these books. My birthday was about a month and a bit ago. But yeah, that one's by someone called Sarah Akwesombe, I think. And then there's someone called Lucy Werner. So she's done like a PR toolkit. So that's really good for like small businesses and working to like PR yourself, but also your business.
Okay, I'm making a note of these. Definitely need some tips, definitely.
And I listen to a podcast called Courier, so C-O-U-R-I-E-R, not career, yeah. But it sounds a lot like career, especially with the American presenter. And they've done a little kind of magazine sort of thing called How to Start a Business. So yeah, I've ordered that.
Oh, that sounds fab.
So only a few more questions left, I think, in terms of things that are on the horizon for you. So are there any exclusives for Larks and Craft or things that you're planning to do in the future, if you're able to talk about them or you want to speak them into existence? Yeah, it'd be good to hear about any of that.
Nothing as of yet. We kind of fumbled our way through Christmas, so we will be preparing for next year, and that will kind of pave what will come. At the minute, I think Valentine's Day is the next big one for us. So that's what we'll be working towards.
You could have like a booming line in like congratulations on your vaccine card.
That's hilarious.
So you already shipped to the UK. Are there any other countries you ship to? And what are your kind of plans in terms of like becoming eco-friendly in the future?
So yes, currently we ship to the UK and the US and Canada. That was kind of just a trial run to see how that worked. And actually we have a lot of custom from the US and Canada. So our plan is definitely to open that worldwide. Yeah, it would be amazing to get all our products across the globe, definitely. And in terms of going green and eco-friendly, that's 100%. We want to do that. We want to help the environment. I think the reason we haven't done so far is literally circumstance and having to kind of amass all these products for Christmas in such a short amount of time. But yeah, 2021, we're gonna, all our paper, we want it to be recyclable, all of our packaging. So yeah, it's really exciting, and we're putting the works in as we speak.
Yeah, so anyone listening around the world, feel free to reach out to Sophie.
Please do.
Where can people find Larks and Crafts? So online and on social media.
So we have an Instagram and Facebook page, which is at Larks and Crafts Designs. And our website is www.larksandcraftsdesigns.com, where you can shop the full collection.
Brilliant. Really appreciate you coming onto the podcast, Sophie. And you've given a really good insight into the business. I can tell 2021 is going to be a great year for you as well. So thanks for joining the Hustle Up podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been so fun.